Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Yes, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue along. We got a short week this week. We are off Thursday and Friday for the Thanksgiving holiday. So enjoy these good, the bad, and the dumbs this week when you can. What is the good of the day?
The good of the day, Tony, is that time does heal all wounds.
It does?
It does.
Okay.
All right, you got to put your thinking cap on and jump into that Wayback Machine. But do you remember that beef between former Laker teammates Derek Fisher and Matt Barnes?
A little bit. I know they had a problem, but I can't remember what the problem was.
Well, the problem was that Derek Fisher started dating Matt Barnes' ex-wife.
Oh, that's right.
And the divorce wasn't even finalized yet when Matt Barnes decided to venture to his old house that he shared with his ex-wife, where Derek Fisher happened to stay, and punched him.
Right.
So fast forward to today, Derek Fisher is Coach Fisher to Matt Barnes' twin sons, Isaiah and Carter, at Crespi High School, which is in Encino, California, which is in Southern California.
Okay.
So, and they reportedly get along great now.
Matt Barnes and Derek Fisher
have squashed whatever beef. Derek Fisher ended up marrying Matt Barnes' ex-wife, and I believe they're still married today.
Okay, so maybe he got over it. Maybe he goes.
That's what I said. Time heals all wounds.
Maybe she's a kind of person where Matt Barnes goes, "All right, you'll see," and then we'll commiserate over broken hearts. Yeah,
he's Derek Fisher's like, "Man, you know, I really feel bad, like, you know, dating your ex-wife. How about your kids start?"
Yeah, I guess you're right. Oh, goodness. All right, well, I'm glad those two are Beef is over. What year was that when that was going
2015.
Down? 2015. Oh, so that was a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Time does heal all wounds, I guess.
Yep.
Some wounds never get healed, though. The Hatfields and McCoys, no. I think, are still fighting.
I know, even though they said they aren't.
The Capulets and the Montagues, I think, are still battling it out hundreds of years later.
Of course they are.
What is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is something, Tony, that you definitely can relate to. Because golf can be a real mother sometimes.
It really can. I have not been able to play because I have this little neck injury that's preventing me playing, but I don't necessarily miss it as much as I thought I would.
If you do play, Tony, if you go out and play, don't do what Dutch pro golfer, and I'm going to butcher his name, but I'm going to say it the way it's written, Joost Luiten, how he played.
Okay.
He's a professional golfer on the ninth hole of the DP World Tour Championship, which I believe is in Dubai right now. He got a little frustrated and threw his driver into the tree.
Okay.
And the driver did not come down.
Did he go up and get it?
No, he proceeded to throw three more clubs up there to try to knock his driver down. Can you guess what happened?
They all stayed in the tree. So can he run up there? Nobody can climb a tree and go
well,
get,
he
go
didn't
clubs?
Climb up the tree, but I don't know if it was a caddy, bystander, or whatever. They went and tried to climb up the tree to shake the limbs, but they themselves could not get it down. So he finished the round with 11 clubs.
So he basically tin-cupped it.
He tin-cupped it.
Yeah. Not bad. You can get around. You can get around without those clubs.
Yeah.
You probably.
I don't know what the
there.
Other three were. That's the only right. problem.
You know, they're
obviously he was like, you know, he probably grabbed the putter. He's like, "No, I'll probably need that one."
Then he went over to his his sponsor and like, "Give me some more clubs."
Yeah,
like, sure. But yeah, no, I had a friend of mine when I played golf in New Hampshire. So I was on the golf team in New Hampshire and we play in the fall. You know, we don't play in the spring because spring, by the time the golf courses come around, we're like pretty much out of school. So we play in the fall and we played a state championship at a course called Abernacky Country Club, which is in Rye, New Hampshire. And the first hole off at Abernacky Country Club is a lake. Okay. It's a small pond, but not, I shouldn't say lake. It's a small pond. And my friend on the first tee hit his drive and he didn't hit it very well. And he didn't fling it like angrily, like you would fling it, but he kind of just did that thing where you're like, "Ugh," and he just let it go. And the club went into the water. And so he had to play the rest of the way without his driver. But his father told him, "You're going into that pond to get it." And it was like 50 degrees outside. And he says, "You're going to get it because you could stand up in it." And he went down into the water and he found his club. And there was a picture in our yearbook of him hoisting the club out of the pond. But his father made him go get it. His father's like, "I'm not buying you another driver." That's a good enough driver. And I was like, yeah, thank God I didn't throw mine in there. Because I don't, but yeah, you know, but he didn't have like a stable of club makers that goes, here's my specs. Make me another one because the other one's in the tree. If I was a kid, I would have climbed up there and grabbed a bunch. I would have tried to grab them.
Yeah.
But I'm like, these are cool. I'm the professional golfers clubs. I'll go get them. So, all right. Well, did he say how he finished the round with only a 7-iron like Kevin Costner?
I can't find it.
No.
He finished 3 over.
So he finished the round 3 over? That's not that great.
No.
No. Would have been great if he shot like a 66. That would have been awesome.
Oh, no, that's for the entire tournament. He finished 3 over to lose by 18 shots for the tournament. Oh, okay.
So he wasn't really in contention anyway.
No, he wasn't really in contention, but now he's made all the highlight reels.
Okay.
Because he is every golfer.
I know. What about the bad of the day?
You mean the dumb?
Dumb of the day, sorry.
The dumb of the day.
We're going so fast right now.
I know. It's like we have stuff to do today.
Yeah.
The dumb of the day, and you are actually going to love this. Texas A&M followed up their win Saturday against Abilene Christian by posting a mind-numbing or dumbing stat on Sunday. Did you know, Tony, that they have not lost to an in-state school since 2011?
So they've not lost to anybody that they've played in state, but how many teams have they played within the state?
Well, they are 17-0. They have a 17-0 record versus Texas schools.
Okay, so none of them play in the Big 12.
But none of them
did prior to moving.
But over the last 11 years, they have not played Texas, Baylor, Texas Tech, or TCU one time.
Right, they've been playing like
Abilene Christian, Sam Houston State, Texas State.
Okay.
Schools that they should win.
Right.
You know, but I don't know, just kind of a weird stat for them to go, hey, guys, look, we haven't lost to a Texas school in 11 years.
So is it dumb because they're promoting that, or is it smart because they're just like, hey, it's a stat. You can do whatever the heck you want with it, but we'll promote that.
I guess, smart that it's a stat that they can do whatever they want, but they're getting crucified for the fact that everyone's pointing out like, yeah, but who have you played?
Right.
You're an SEC school playing against, minnows.
There are statistics that are, I find, ridiculous. Right? Like I look and go, that they need context, right?
Right.
Like, when I see, like, a media guide, and I see game notes, and a game note will say Alabama or something. I'm just using Alabama as an example, so forgive me, all right, Alabama people. But it will say, like, Alabama is 29-0 in their in non-conference games played in Tuscaloosa, right? Well, then I go, well, in that list, what is it? Like, what is it? Because I know a lot of these. Maybe it was one time Penn State came to Tuscaloosa for week 3.
I know.
Did
a Wisconsin make its journey?
Right. Right, but you put in Tuscaloosa for a reason. Oh, and again, I'm just picking on Alabama. It could be anybody. Because you don't want to count the non-conference neutral site games that are played at, like, AT&T Stadium. So, to me, anytime I see those numbers, I'm always like, well, give me the context of that. Like, tell me who you beat in that. Like, you can say, like, hey, we're 25-0 in non-conference games played at home, including wins against Michigan and Wisconsin and Texas. Like, you can do that without just throwing out that number.
Yeah, for Texas A&M, I mean, their 17 wins came against Abilene Christian, Lamar, Prairie View A&M, Rice, Sam Houston State, Texas State, UTEP, SMU, and UTSA, University of Texas San Antonio. But, I mean, which those two are, good programs now. But as last time they played them was before they were good programs.
Yeah, but even if they were good, Texas A&M should still beat them.
Right.
Even if they're starting to get good. I mean, it's just the way those are the schools you pay money to.
Yes.
To get to go here you go. Enjoy.
I always feel bad about when you read those stories that such and such school paid this school. Like, what was it, Auburn paying New Mexico State?
Yeah.
And New Mexico State just rolled right over Auburn.
Yeah, when the team beats you, that's embarrassing.
Like, well, I'm going to give New Mexico State credit. I'm going to look at it through their eyes and not your eyes, Auburn.
Yeah. Right? Well, you gave them money and then they beat you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, but what'd you expect them to do? Just lay over? I mean, I just always hate that narrative. It feels like.
Think about Florida State. Like Florida State paid North Alabama millions of dollars. They became a brief period of time. They were kind of the laughing stock, losing 13-0 in the first quarter, and they lost their starting quarterback that could help them win a national championship. A guy that could have helped them win a national championship was gone in a game in which they paid the opposing millions of dollars to fill the schedule. It's like, oh, goodness. It's a triple whammy. All right, that's a good, the bad, and the dumb. Again, we'll have Ohio State and Michigan preview that's coming up in 20 minutes as we continue Hour 2. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.